If you guys have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get those out. We will be in Ephesians chapter 2 starting out. We'll be jumping around a little bit. For those of you who don't know, I'm actually not from around here. I only moved up north about 4.5 years ago when I met and married Andrea. And so I'm still getting used to some of the things up north here. And one of the things is some of the phrases that you guys use. It's just odd to me. We've already talked about pop. I've already talked with many of you about pop and why that just doesn't make any sense at all. But even like you guys say yet at the end of sentences, I just don't even understand how that works. But one thing that was interesting, I don't even know if this is a northern thing, but when Andrew and I were first getting to know each other, she said the term Indian giver. And guys, I tried to figure it out. Like, I wasn't mean. I wasn't what? I'm just sitting there going, okay, so maybe And after about 5 minutes, I'm going, okay, I'm sorry. Like, other ones I've been able to figure out. Pop, I can kind of, okay, I understand why you call it that. Indian giver, I don't get that. And they explained that Indian giver was someone who gives something and then wants it back. It's a very negative connotation. That is what it means, right? Okay, well, there's that. Northern, never mind. Anyways, it's a very negative light. And yet, it was interesting because as I was thinking about this idea, this topic that I really want to nail on today, I thought about God and about all the gifts. And we've actually even sung about the gifts that he's given us as a good father. And yet, what's interesting about the gifts that you have this morning is that, as weird as it sounds, God, in a right and good way, he wants them back. And yet, like we talk about that in a very negative sense, but in God's eyes, it's a very positive sense because everything that you are, everything about you, who you are, what you like, what you enjoy, the things that you do, all these things are gifts from God. And I know that some people will say, well, you're a product of your environment. Well, who put you in your environment? God did. So everything, every little quirk about you, your likes, your dislikes, the passions, the things that you just can't stand, these are all gifts from God. And to be honest, this idea that we're going to talk about today has kind of frustrated me for a while. Because, like, for example, we've heard Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. But a lot of times that's where we stop, and we don't go on to Ephesians 2, 10, which then says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what this passage is saying is that, like, you've been made by God to do good works. And not only that, he's prepared you for these works. And this is a concept that I think is not really talked about a lot in church, not because it's bad or taboo or anything like that, but we just don't think about it. For example, how many of you have ever heard of something called a spiritual gifts test? Okay, so quite a few of you. If you do a search on Google, if you're bored, you do a search on spiritual gifts, there are tons of tests. Like, oh, what's your spiritual gift? What is this? And like, there's all these things. And I've heard a lot of sermons on spiritual gifts too. Like, what is your spiritual gift? How should you use your spiritual gift for the church? And yet, I've always been frustrated because I'm going, okay, like, yeah, I understand that. What about my practical gifts? Like, what about my hobbies or the things I'm actually good at? How do I do that for God? How do I share like my ability to build things? How do I praise God in that? You know, I really just enjoy talking with people. But I guarantee you, if I ask a lot of you, hey, so how many of you want to get up here and preach this morning? Half of you would probably just faint at the thought of that because you don't like public speaking. But maybe for some of you, you're going, okay, like, maybe I could do that, or maybe I could teach. And so, but how do I get to that point? And so that's kind of what I want to land on today is practical gifts. Who you are, how God's wired you, and just kind of giving you some ideas, because I've actually talked about this concept with quite a few of you here, and every single person I've talked to is like, man, I would love to hear something about that, because I've never heard anything like, I know on the spiritual realm, I'm just not sure on the practical realm. So we're going to hit three areas of the gifts that God has given you, and gifts are meant to be used in love, your gifts are pre-planned by God, and your gifts are meant for the glory of God. Okay? So that's if for my type A'ers who just need an outline or else you will not pay attention, there's your outline. All right? So we're going to be bouncing around a little bit too, just to let you know. But our gifts, first up, are meant to be used in love. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter. We'll be in chapter 4. And while you guys are going over there, we're going to do a fun little quiz. If this applies to you, just raise your hand, okay? And there's going to be a lot of you. So how many of you like being around kids who aren't your own? Okay. Go ahead and put your hands up. How many of you like building things with your hands? Okay, great. Go ahead and put it down. How many of you like technology, like techie things, like gadgets and stuff? Okay. How many of you like helping others learn new things? Okay, excellent. How many of you like helping behind the scenes? Like doing this would just be like, you want to be behind the scenes, you want to make it all happen behind the scenes. Okay, great. How many of you like to do things with food? Cooking, baking, serving, all that kind of stuff. Oh, wow. A lot of you. Okay. How many of you like organization? Like you need it to be organized. You love to like work systems out. Great. How many of you like music? Either listening to music or playing music? A lot of you. Great. And last but not least, how many of you like just being around people in general? I'm sorry for the ones of you who are sitting next to someone who did not raise their hand. So, okay. But here's the other thing. I could go on for hours just asking you. And what's interesting, if you looked around, different hands were going up all over the room for different questions. So all of you are uniquely wired in certain ways. And here's the thing. God wired you that way. We saw that in Ephesians. He's prepared us beforehand for good works. So how should these be used? How can we use these? And 1 Peter does an excellent job of starting us out on that. So he's the first answer to be used in love. And I'm starting in verse 7. So chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks to the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him be glory forever. Amen. And there's two main ideas that we see in this text. And the first off is that love, we use our gifts in love in sacrifice. And the other one is we use our gifts in love in considering others. And so if you want to have like something for your outline, I would say that sacrifice is for verses 8 and 9. And I would say that considering others is verse 10. And here's what we see about this. First off, that when you serve, like when you use your gifts for the kingdom, or even, for example, for the church, you might need to sacrifice. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of times when I've heard people talk about their gifts or their talents, they go, oh man, like if they don't allow me to use my gift, I just don't think I can help there. I just don't, man, you know what? I know they need nursery workers. But I don't know if I'm called. I don't know if God's calling me to that point. I think that maybe like one of the greeters is needing someone to serve a child, but I just don't. I think that my alarm clock is calling me a whole lot more than God's calling me to do this. And yet what we see in this text is that as we start to use our gifts and as we look around to use our gifts, we might be made aware of areas where we're going like, oh, I just don't know if that feels right. Like, I don't know if I would enjoy that or not. But Peter's saying, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Show hospitality. And sometimes, when it comes to using our gifts, we need to serve in areas that aren't our favorite. So when you hear about things where you're like, oh, man, I think I could help out there, but I just don't want to. Sometimes, God's encouraging you to do that. He's like, hey, you know what? This is going to be out of your comfort zone, and that is okay. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to ruin your life. Let's try to do something out of the ordinary. So, like, for an example, there are people here at this church this morning who have done stuff that I guarantee you that some of you probably don't want to do. Like, for example, right now, there is someone in children's church teaching your kids about Jesus, helping them focus because in a big sermon like this, they would have a hard time. And so we want to make sure we have a spot for them that they're learning about Jesus. We have nursery workers right now who are watching some of your children. But even more so than that, there was someone here early before some of you probably even woke up plowing the parking lot. And some of you are going, I would never want to do that. You have board members who show up at least once a month, and they give up their entire Sunday afternoon to try to make decisions to help lead the church. And I guarantee you, like they love getting to serve you all, but it's probably not the use of their Sunday afternoon that they would have chosen. And so as we start to look at all these gifts, just be aware, God might sometimes call you to use your gifts in ways that you're just not really happy about. It's like, oh man, like I think I should serve in this area. I don't think it's going to be very fun though, and that's okay. On the flip side, because I've been in situations like this too, and this is more for my leaders. When you look at true love and considering others, I don't know if you've ever been a part of this. This has been my experience, especially in some of the churches I've been in. Let's see if you've ever heard this conversation. Man, we had some people just like step down from this area. We're going to need to fill this fast. Who's breathing? You made eye contact with me. Hey, so would you like to sit? And like, we almost become like, if anyone moves, we pounce on them. And especially for my leaders, we need to treat others in love. And that may mean looking around and going, okay, you know what? I know that I need this area. And I'm going to look around like, man, you know what? That person, they're not really involved all that much, but you know what? They love construction. Like, they love to work with their hands. And we're looking for some guys to help us out with this project. So instead of just looking around like, someone breathing? You. And going, you know what, how about I go ahead and ask them? And we start to look, and you start to think about, okay, how are my friends and how is my church wired? What are they good at? What do they enjoy doing? Instead of just trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, if you've been a part of our membership interview process for about the past year or so, I hope that you've heard this question. If you were to become a member of EAB, what would be your dream job? Like, if you could show up to church and go, man, I can't believe I get to do this for Jesus every year, what would it be? And you know what's interesting about this? Every single time that we've asked that, no one has said, can't think of anything. No one has said that. They always go, well, if it could be anything, I think I'd like to do this. Or I'd like to do this. And you know what's even more interesting about it? They tend to balance each other out. Like, we haven't had 20 people go, children, want to help out with these kids? It's been very balanced out. And so it's funny, as I look out over across you, I can see gifts and talents and abilities where I know that if you guys just tried something, you would take off. You'd do amazing at it. So, being used in love, there's two sides of this. And two, I'll go ahead and say this too, because there's some of you in here who I need to speak to, and you need to hear the opposite of this. You don't need to be looking for jobs to take on. You need to be looking for people to start training to take jobs off of you. Because there's some of you here where literally church is like a full-time job for you. You're showing up hour after hour after hour, which is fine, except that if you're like the one central focal point, what happens when you get sick? And if I'm honest, in the moments in my life when I've wanted it, everything to be centralized on me, that's not because I think I can do a better job than anyone else, it's because I want it to be all about me. And instead, in 2019, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in the annual business meeting, I'm going to encourage you as leaders, specifically as leaders, finding someone to start training up. Finding, like literally learning how to replace yourself. Because here's the thing, guys. I don't know if you've noticed, but our little church is starting to get not so little. And if we're going to continue spreading so that we can tell more and more and more people about Jesus, we're going to need to be able to adapt and do things that maybe we've never done before. And that's going to require a whole lot of love. So, are you willing to sacrifice? Maybe you're doing something that you're not a big fan of. And are you willing to look around and go, hey, you know what? I think that you would do really well in this. I literally had a conversation with someone 2 minutes before the service started. Someone came up to me and said, hey, you know what? The after school program, man, I think I would love to do that. I don't know how to do it, though. I was like, great, let's talk with Ruth. We will get you connected. The second part is that our gifts are pre-planned by God. We see that in Ephesians. We see that he prepared them beforehand, but really we see it more carefully in one of my favorite passages in the Psalms, Psalms 139. And it says from David, for you, speaking of God, formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book was written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. What this passage is saying is that before you were born, God is tweaking and putting together and designing you. And so there's this part of me where it's like, I feel like I don't need to say this, but I'm just being told I do. Like, this verse, if I could encapsulate it in one sentence, means God does not make mistakes. Therefore, you sitting in this room, you're not a mistake. You're not broken. You're not damaged. You're not like busted. And yeah, I run into so many people who they just look at themselves and in self-shame or looking at themselves going, man, I'm just, and it's like, no. Like, God designed you exactly the way, with your desires, with the way, with your passions, the things that you love to do. That's what this passage is saying. And what's amazing about that is that, one, we can't claim praise for our gifts. Because, like, you run into some people like, oh, look at me, look what I can do. You're like, no, like, before you were born, God was putting that into you. He was tweaking those DNA helixes to make it just so that you would turn out this way. Which is so cool because that means that you've been designed with a purpose. And, whether right or wrong, I think that this verse needs to be introduced to the whole conversation about children born and unborn. And there is so much going on right now in the news and media about this stuff. And I just go back to this verse and I go, you know what the Bible says of these verses is that there is life. And that God is weaving that life together in the mother's womb. That's all I will say on that for right now. If you have questions, ask me afterwards. But here's the thing, guys. There's not a shred of you in how you turned out to be. God enabled you to do that. And the other way is we can't keep our practical gifts to ourselves. Like, God has designed you. In verse 16, it even says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book are written every one of them, the days that were formed for me. God's already prepared you to go out and do amazing things with the gifts that he's given you. So you can't keep them to yourself. That's wrong. That's not how God designed it. And I want to address two age ranges more so than the other one. This is true for everyone, but for my really young people in the room and for my older people in the room, I feel like this is the biggest lie that you'll ever hear. For young people, is that, you know what, I'm too young, I can't do anything for God. And for older people, it's, well, I'm too old, I'm not useful anymore. And let me tell you, if you're breathing, God can still use you. If you are still breathing, God still has a plan for you to do. And for you to just sit there and go, I guess I'm done. I guess I'm washed up. I guess I'm all done. Like, that's wrong. That's a lie. I don't know where you heard it from, but it's not true. And for my kids, Paul told Timothy, hey, look, don't let them look down on you because you're young. If you're a follower of me, that's my power living in through you. And if you just do a quick Google search on kids who have changed the world, there are some kids and teenagers out there who are making waves that they could have just sat on their couch and gone, you know, don't think it's time for me yet. So look, I mean, you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. And you cannot keep this to yourself. Your gifts are to be used in love. They were pre-planned by God. You are how you are today because of God. And so, I mean, I hope that right now your mind is just going like, okay, if what Josh says is true, then how did God wire me? Like, how did God wire me a certain way? Am I talented in certain areas? And guys, I don't want this to sound like this is like a plug for EAB, like, oh, guys, like we should do all this stuff. No, like if you're going, you know what, I really love to just sit and talk with people. Maybe I should just start taking someone out to coffee and just start pouring into them. It could be as simple as that. But we have got to start looking at ourselves and going, okay, God, how did you wire me? What abilities, what talents did you give me? And how can I use those for you? Maybe in the church, maybe outside the church. And if you're wondering if you have anything, or if you're going, I'm not talented in any area, first off, you just need to throw that lie out the window because it's not true. And second off, you need to find a friend, sit down with them and go, hey, you know that sermon that we talked about? I really want to kind of tease this out some. Is there something in my life that you think I'm talented with? So, me and Andrea, we are dating. And we are riding in the bus, and Life Action did this about 5 or 6 years ago. And she is writing a drawing for her sister. How many of you have ever seen Andrea draw anything? Isn't it frustrating? I look over, and there is like a coloring book perfect likeness of Elsa and Anna. The only problem was it wasn't a coloring book at the start. It was a blank page. And she looked at a picture on her phone, and she's like, oh, okay. And just did it. You know what happened if I did that? Not that. And I was just like, man, that is incredible. And I mean, like, oh, I love you. And I was like, that's incredible. And she goes, I mean, I guess. I'm like, what? If I could do that, I would, like, lose my mind. It's amazing. There are some of you out there who have gifts and talents that would blow other people away, and you have no idea because you're going, oh, well, that's how it normally is. And people are going, nuh-uh, that's incredible. I would pay for someone to do that. How do you do this? So I would really challenge you to just sit down with a friend and say, hey, so, like, is there anything that you see in me, anything I could start doing? The last one is our gifts are meant for the glory of God. And, man, all of what I've just said for the past 20 minutes is trash. And this is not behind it all. And I think there's no better passage than this than Exodus 31. And we don't have time to read through it right now, but what's going on is that God is preparing his people to start building the tabernacle. He told them what it's going to be like. And I just love it in the first part. We'll read the first part. The Lord said to Moses, starting in verse 1, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you, any man who reads this passage right now is not going to feel like as much of a man when you read what Bezalel is like. This guy is a craftsman, can do artistic designs with gold, silver, bronze, cut stones, carving wood, and work of every kind. So pretty much, he's more of a man than you are. And what's amazing about it is that at the very beginning, God says, and I have filled him with the Spirit. I have filled him with ability. I have filled him with intelligence and knowledge. Like, God's not going, man, look at that guy. He really studied his books. God's going, no, no, no. look at how I've trained this guy, because now I'm going to use him to help my people build my temple. And that just goes back to the idea, guys, you cannot take credit for your gifts. God gave them to you. God has empowered you. And I mean, let's be honest. Like that little list I just read down him, how many of you think that you could do all that? Like stone, wood, I think about that. I mean, maybe once, maybe a little bit, but this guy was tasked with building and organizing the tabernacle, the place where God, for the first time since Eden, was going to rest in the midst of his people. Is that pressure? We're almost there, guys. Is that pressure? Yeah, that's pressure. You're building the place where God is going to be in the midst of his people. And you read how talented this guy is, and it's probably like, okay, yep, okay, so we're going to need this, we're going to need this, we're going to need this, just flawlessly, because God's given him the ability to, and I guarantee you, there are some of you here who God has given you abilities that I would say are probably just being wasted right now. Either because you're doing them for someone else, or maybe you're doing them for yourself. And what would happen if you went home today and you just sat down for 5 minutes and said, all right, God, I think I want to look at this. What's one thing that I could start doing? Like what's one gift? What's one talent? What's something I could do for you that I haven't been doing in the past? What's one thing where it's like, you know what? I really have this passion, this desire, like I love doing this. How could I use it for you? And I think that as you sit and as you think about it, things will start to come to your mind. You'll go like, oh man, like that's incredible. Like for example, if when you're in the nursery, I've had people ask, man, what's so spiritual about nursery? What if the next time that you were in nursery, you prayed for the kids while you rocked them to sleep? Or what if you're a janitor and you're in a building where no one's around? Everyone's gone home. You could pray for the people there. You could sing with your phone. Maybe. My mom is a caretaker for an elderly lady, and I'm just going to be straight with you. I cannot do what she does. And she gets energy from it. It tires her out, but she constantly encourages and lifts up this woman. And I tell you what, this woman considers her almost a daughter because of a gift that God has given my mom for her to love and care for her people. And so this morning, what is God putting on your heart? And it could be something as simple as a mechanic. I mean, anything. It is only limited by your creativity. But man, I would hate for you to go out and just have these gifts and these talents and just squander them on either yourself, on others, when you could do so much more for God. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to have the praise team come back up. And I just want you guys to just sit here and think for a second. What God, I want to be open. Maybe this is the first time you've ever thought of this, but Lord, like, is there something that maybe you want me to start doing? And if you're one of the ones who feel like you are just totally overworked, then maybe the question you should be asking is, God, is there something you want me to start to pass off to someone else? To train them, to bring them up and to be a leader. Father, I just pray for everyone here. Lord, I just confess, I don't know if any of this made sense. But Father, I thank you that God, as I just think about the people sitting here, Lord, I just think about all the talents that I've seen, all the passions, all the loves of hobbies. And Father, I just pray that in just for today, God, that you would just bring this back to our mind and think, okay, what could I do for God? What's one way that I could love and serve God in a new way this year? Father, we love you. We thank you that you have given us these gifts and these talents. We thank you that you're the one who empowers us in them, not ourselves. In your name we pray these things. Amen.